at all the happy faces in here. Thank you, Jesus. Well, get your Bibles out. And if you would, go to the book of 1 Samuel 17 again. I've got some things that I want to share with you that I didn't really get to share with you. I'm messing with my phone here. Y'all forgive me. I'm trying to find a scripture. Not cooperating. I feel sometimes I worry that when I'm teaching, you know, I get too simple, and y'all are saying, "Oh God, Pastor, come on, you know, can't you give something more meat to chew on than that?" But man, it's the simple things we're missing. Y'all with me? And this story of David and Goliath that we've been working on for so long. I kind of felt like I hurried through on Sunday and didn't get it all finished and didn't really get some things said that I wanted to get said. And so anyway, long story short, I've got some things I want to share with you tonight. Is that okay? Okay, we've been going over this story about David and Goliath, and I know you may know it by heart, you may read it all the time, but just some things I want to bring out here. And I don't want to go to reading it all, it's just going to take forever. And so... As I begin to read this, and I begin to think about it, and I begin to try to put myself in the position of what would it have been like if you'd have been standing there and just looked out and, you know, saw the events. If you could just, you know, if you could just stand on the hillside and watch Goliath come out, and if you could just, you know, what did David really look like? What did Goliath really look like, you know? And how scary was this? And what was everybody doing? The Bible says they were fearful, but, you know, was everybody fearful, or were they just, a lot of people just sitting around saying, "Oh, yeah, well, you know, whatever. We're just here." They just showed up for the battle. I mean, come on. We don't even understand much about, war like that. I mean, can you imagine going out and fighting? I mean, just imagine all of us, this half of the church, y'all all had swords, and this half had swords, and we just went after each other. I mean, you know, you kind of want to be at the back of the bunch, I think, you know, right? Right? I mean, it's pretty gruesome. I mean, you're going to get hit with a sword, and I always worried about, you know, I wouldn't be so worried about, well, I mean, worried about, yeah, but if you were a warrior, you know, you're trained for battle, you might not be so worried about that guy that's in front of you, but what about the yahoos that's standing around behind you that just walks up and sticks you in the back, you know? I mean, you know what I'm saying? You're good, but you can't watch everything. And so you just think about this whole situation, you know, and going to battle, and then here's David. He comes up, and he comes out of the fields, and he comes walking up, and he just delivers the cheese and the bread, and then he goes over to see what's going on. It sounds nonchalant, right? And he's just there to check out his brothers, and he's just there to see what's going on. He's just there to talk to everybody, you know, and see what's going on. And about that time, here comes Goliath. He comes walking out there, and there he is out in the middle of the field. And he says, you know, come on out and fight with me. If you beat me, then we'll serve the armies of Israel, but if I kill you, then we're going to serve y'all. And come on out there. And we know from the story, if you go on and read through the whole thing, that when David went to Saul, Saul said, "Man, who are you? You're just a youth, and he has been a warrior from his youth." So we know that Goliath was a trained, you know, fighter. He was awesome. He was amazing. And here's David. He must not have been too impressive. Right? Because if he'd have been all ripped and gnarly, he'd have said, man, you're a pretty good looking kid. I don't know. You might could pull this thing off. But he's looked at him like, you don't stand a chance. So he must not have been too impressive. Y'all with me? His physical stature, I'm talking about, was not too impressive. Matter of fact, when Goliath came out, when he came out to Goliath, Goliath said to him, man, basically he said, what are they sending the children out to me? So he must not have been very big. Right? He didn't, Goliath would have said, man, you look pretty good, but I want to whip you. No, he was like, they sent the kids out to me? Okay, the point I'm trying to get across here is that there was no way in the natural mind that anyone could have looked at this contest and said, man, I just really feel David's going to win. But the problem is, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:18 that we're not supposed to look at the things that are seen. Right? It says we're supposed to look at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen, they're eternal. So in other words, there's this realm out there, this realm of God that we can't see with our natural eyes. We can't see in the physical, that doesn't line up with the naturalness of this world because it's supernatural, right? And if your eyes are focused on the natural things, you're always going to be discouraged. You're always going to be fearful. You're always going to be worried. You're always going to look at it and say, I don't know, it can't work. Because you're just calculating it with your brain. Are y'all following me here? You're just calculating it with your brain. So, since the charismatic movement, I mean before this, but mainly we in our time, we know since the charismatic movement, church got onto the Word. We got to get the Word in us. And we've got the Word in us, then we can have faith, because faith comes from the Word. And that teaching went through, and it's perfect. It's right. It is the truth. You cannot have faith in God unless you know what the Word of God says. Because you don't know God. Right? Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So if you understand why Jesus did what he did and everything, you'll understand how your Heavenly Father is. Right? If you don't know what the Word says, you don't know what the promises in the Word said, then you don't have any basis to have any faith in it. Right? So the same is that if in your moment of crisis or in your moment of worry or fear or whatever, in that moment, you have to say, oh God, what does the Word say about this? Then I can just tell you, you're not prepared for the battle. Because if you're having to try to get faith at that moment, when you need faith, you don't have faith. You have hope. Now, the Bible says if you have hope and you stay in hope, you'll not be ashamed. So, in other words, hope will take you eventually into faith. But you're just hoping. And that's where the old saying goes, just a hoping and a praying, right? Because you don't really... you don't know God well enough to know that he truly is going to do what he said he's going to do. The Bible says Abraham in Romans 4, it says he was fully convinced that what God had promised he was able to perform. He was fully convinced that what God had promised he was able to perform. Even to the death of taking his own son, that he would bring him back to life. Wow. So, back to David. Here's David. When he goes out to battle, this kid is, something's just different about him. All right? Something's just different about him. When he goes out to the battle, and he looks at the battle, he didn't go out to run to his brothers and say, hey, doesn't the Word say that those are Philistines? And Philistines, aren't they? They're not in covenant with God, aren't they? Isn't that right? They're not in covenant with God. Don't we have a covenant with God? And doesn't God say that he'll be our protector? That God will do the battle for us, and God's our standard, and God loves it. Isn't that what the Word says? And everybody's like, well, yeah, that is what the Bible, that is what the prophets have told us. That is what the Word says, right? He didn't go do that. In David, there was something different because David had been out in the field. It says he slew the lion, slew the bear. And he says, well, who's this uncircumcised Philistines? He had already been in practice of what, you know, I hate to say it like this, but it's the only way I can explain it. He had already been in practice of what the promises said. Right? He already had developed out in the woods with the sheep. He had already learned how to worship. I mean, my gosh, look at the Psalms. See, look at how he wrote it. That didn't come from just after he got become king. He was out in the stars, looking up at the stars in the skies, and he was a worshiper. He was worshiping God. He had a love affair with God. He knew what the promises were, so somehow, you know, the Bible doesn't really tell us, but somehow he knew what the promises said, either because he had read the scriptures or he had been in, church, or he was taught by somebody to him or whatever. He learned somehow. Didn't have a Bible to read like you do. But he knew God. So when he came up and Goliath came to his door, when he looked at it, he was just like, well, that's sitting right. That ain't God. Who is this? There was not like he had to work himself up to believe, oh, God. Now, okay, I'm about to step out and I really don't want to get killed. And are you with me? You really with me? No. I believe. Right? It wasn't that. He wasn't in that position. He wasn't in that attitude. He wasn't in that frame of mind. He wasn't in that arena in his heart. His heart, where he walked up and he was really kind of disgusted with all of Israel. So like, excuse me. That guy's not even in covenant with God. And because he was a man of faith, because he was already in the position of faith in his heart, everybody mocked him. And I just want you to know, whenever you walk in faith, go with me, you're going to get persecuted. When you're truly in faith, you'll be persecuted. The enemy will persecute you, people will persecute you, whatever persecute you. I mean, his own brothers turned to him and was saying, who do you think you are? You just such a... I mean, they weren't out in the woods with him when he was with the sheep worshiping God. See, it's your relationship with your God that's going to catapult you into victory. You with me? Now, this is the point I want to say. Okay. Bob, flip that scripture up for us here. In Acts 19, there's a story. It's Acts 19:50. You can go look it up. But it was when these Jewish sorceress or Jewish whatever they were decided that they had seen Paul casting out devils. They'd seen miracles being done by him, so they said, we don't want to go try this. And if you read through the whole story, they go up and they find this demon-possessed man. And so they decide they're going to cast the spirit out of him. And matter of fact, flip back to verse 14. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, the Jewish high priest, who did so. Okay, go to 15. And the evil spirit answered and said to them, okay, somewhere I'm missing the translation there. But they went to the guy and they said, we adjure you in the name of Jesus in whom Paul preaches. That's verse 13. Yeah. Here you go. The itinerant Jews just took it upon themselves to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. That's a pretty lame prayer. Right? In other words, they don't they don't know this Jesus, and they don't really even know Paul, and they don't really even know what in the world they're doing, and they don't really have any relationship with God to know anything. They're just trying to practice exorcism. And so they pray this prayer: we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Pretty lame, right? So then go ahead and go on down now to 15. And so the evil spirit answered, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? You know you're in trouble at that point. And they were. The next verse said that the evil spirit leaped upon them, ripped all their clothes off. They ran out of the place naked, just trying to get away from him. Okay? These guys were just trying to be religious, trying to be, you know, something that really was not in their heart. And it goes the same with us as Christians. When we're trying to pray and petition heaven for whatever there may be or whatever we need or whatever's going on, and we don't really know if God's really going to do it, we're kind of like those guys. We're saying, well, you know, I know you did this for so-and-so. I know you did this for so-and-so, so surely you can do it for me. You see, you're not even in a position of faith. You just have a knowledge that God's word said that that's his promise, and then you've listened and studied or learned or heard somebody else that said God did this for him, and so your anticipation is elevated, but you're not really in faith. Because I want to show you something. When, back to 1 Samuel, when David went out and he began to faith Goliath, you know, the story says he goes down, he reaches down to the brook and he picks up 5 smooth stones, puts them in his bag. Well, I don't know. I can't, you know, I like it because it preaches really good that Goliath had 4 other brothers, and he did have 4 other brothers, and David did kill the other 4 giant brothers of Goliath, and that is all true. But, you know, is it like you just picked up some extras? I doubt it. I don't think he picked up some extras thinking he might need more than one. I don't really think he did. And it may have just been prophetic that he picked up 5 stones and put them in there because or maybe he knew he had 4 brothers. I don't know. Okay? But the point I'm trying to say here is he picked up a stone and he got it in there. And let's look at the verse here. Let me find it. I mean, I'm really handicapped tonight. I've actually got my Bible and glasses on, so I'll have to hold on here. Okay, verse 40 there, he took his staff in his hand and chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and he put them in the shepherd's bag. Okay, the Philistine came out and drew near to David. 42, and when the Philistine looked about, he saw David. He disdained him, for he was a youth. 43, and the Philistine said, David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks and deal? Okay, go on. 45, and David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This is the day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you. I will take your head from you. And this day I will give to the carcass of the camp of the Philistines, to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that the earth may know that there is a God who lives in Israel. Now, it's interesting to say that he told him he was going to take his head because he didn't even have a sword on him. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with a sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give it into your hands. Okay. And then it says, 48, and so it was that when the Philistine arose, he came near to meet David, that David hurried, he ran toward the army to meet the Philistine, and David put out his hand in his bag, he took out the stone, he slung it, so he's running and putting the rock in. That's pretty talented. I'd have dropped it. Maybe that's why he had 4. I doubt it, but that's just a thought. I'd have had an extra one because I dropped it. And he put it in his hand in the bag and took out the stone and he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. Okay. We've taught before about, you know, the ABCs of faith, the 1, 2, 3s of faith, the walk of faith, the steps of faith, the whatever. But this is actually what I see in this. I see it's the flow of faith. In other words, what happened? What changed? What changed in David from up at the cart where the cheese was to the rock? What changed? Nothing. He wasn't running and saying, I do believe, I do believe, I do believe, I really do believe. Right? I mean, he just said, huh, you? You're not even in covenant with God. And then just took off running, putting the stone in there. And I said Sunday that, you know, God probably put a little flick on the end of that stone. And my wife and I were discussing this after church, because this opened up another can of worms here, is that it's at the moment of the, I'll look for the right words, but at the moment of the position or the movement or the attitude or the, you know, David, he was already in faith, but because he was in faith in what God did, as he started to move forward, God just moved. Why didn't God just strike the Philistine with a bolt of lightning? Isn't it interesting that we want God to do that? We want to stand up on the hill and say, oh, great God in heaven, striketh the Philistine. But see, now we're Merlin the magician. We haven't even got our hands dirty. I really, truly believe that David, I don't think he was amazed when Goliath fell. I just think that he just knew his God so much and knew that he was out of covenant. He knew God was going to move. He knew it was going to happen. He didn't know. I mean, it was not a surprise. He didn't turn around and say, wow, did y'all see that shot? We were hunting doves the other day. This bird flew. I shot 3 times at it. My gun was exactly on it. This bird should have died. It was like a supernatural, Holy Ghost-empowered bird. Boom! Keeps flying. Boom! Keeps flying. Boom! Keeps flying. I'm out of shells by now. Bird just flew right on. I said, I'll be done. Turn back around. Put one shell and turn back around. There was just a bird just right there. And I just turned. Boom! Shot. Boom! Just dropped him dead. And I said, did you see that shot? And why did I say that? Because I didn't ever expect to have hit the thing. You know, it was like almost an accidental killing. Are y'all following me? There was no faith in. I had faith in the one I was missing. Oh, yeah, I got this one. Boom, boom, boom. The one I hit, I was like, wow. I don't think David did that. I don't think he turned around and looked there at the army of his brother and said, I got him. I think it was just his, it was all in him. You got to understand, he just ran off and he's just running. Said, man, I'm killing me a Philistine. Swah, whack, hit him on the ground, takes the sword, swah. Looked up and said, anybody else want something? But do we do that? I'm preaching to myself here too. The Goliaths come up on our horizon and we go, oh God! And then we start quoting and say, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I can, I really will. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. I can kill him. Oh my God, look how big he is. Oh my God. Is this kind of not us? And just take that picture, you know. And then take David's picture. It was a flow in his life. He just is like, well, he's looking, he's more disgusted with his own countrymen than he is with the Philistine. Now, hey, listen, I'm the world's biggest word quoter. I'm not saying that we don't do that. I'm not saying that we don't speak the word, we don't quote the word, we don't. Because if you're in hope, you got to get into faith, and there's no way you're going to be in faith unless you get the word of God going in you. If you don't speak the word of God and you hear the word of God coming out of your mouth, you're not going to have any faith for anything because you're not going to know what God does. But I'm just saying there's a big difference in our position of fighting our giants while we're just spewing word out of our mouth, throwing it at him like stones. That's all we're doing. We just got a bag. We got like one of these big nail pouch bags full of rocks, and we're just slinging them out. Have y'all, anybody in here, have you ever used in here actually used a real sling? Not a wrist rocket. I see 1, 2, 3, half, 50% are over here, 3, 4, 5. Okay, we got 5 people out of, like I said, there's probably 40 of us in here that's actually ever used one. Now, the very first time you picked one up, you 5 people that have actually used one, were you just really good with it? Yeah. Now things change, okay? Like if I gave you 4 smooth stones and a sling and you stood back there by the cross, how many of you think you could even knock one of those pots off that wall? Yeah. I'd be happy. I'll be honest with you. If I had one, and if y'all were sitting in here, I probably wouldn't do it because I figured I'd probably hit one of y'all in the head. But if it was a clear, everybody was out of the way, I would be really impressed if I hit the wall. So the point is that with his sling, I mean, he was confident in it. So he had been practicing. He had his natural abilities that he was practicing with. And I believe that's where the word comes in, where you know the word, you speak the word, you know what the Bible says, you've got it down. That's your naturalness of learning. You see what I'm saying? And stirring yourself so you know what it says. That's you getting good with that sling. It's not an easy thing to do. It takes effort. Right? But then when you're at this place, and you'll know if you're in faith, because as you begin to just move forward, so that's just not what God said. That ain't it. I had this strange experience today. And to not have to get too technical, but I was needing a floor joist, a certain kind of floor joist for the house we're building for this client. And I called and they said, don't make them. They make them, but they're in Canada and have to ship them in from Canada. I said, why would they have this floor joist? This is the dumbest thing I've ever had. I've never heard anything so stupid in my life. So I went through this whole thing, went through this lumber company, went through 6 different lumber companies. Couldn't get it done, couldn't get it done, couldn't get it done, couldn't get it done. Finally called the engineer. Why did you spec these trusses? They don't even make them in the United States. What's the matter with you? Talk to the architect. Why did you draw these in? Don't you know any better? Did anybody check this before I got caught in this deal? Now I'm here trying to build. Got carpenter stand on the job. Got no floor joists. What in the world am I going to do? So did what only thing pastor knows to do. I went praying. So through much avail, we worked and changed to another type of floor joists, and it was real complicated, and made things complicated and all this. And so I said, okay, that's what we'll have to go with. I went and talked to the owners, got everything straight. I mean, we're talking like 2 days of mass intense parlaying between 3 or 4 or 5 people, trying to get the engineers to agree with it, trying to get these people to agree with it, trying to get that together, get it all done, you know, praying the whole time. So today they delivered them. The truck drives up, and I look over there, and I start laughing. Because it was the trusses that I wanted to sort out with. That they told me you couldn't get. But they didn't make them. And I just looked at the carpenter. And I kind of frowned at him and said, you know, what? And he said, I don't know. Thank God. I said, amen, brother. That is how God pulled that off. I don't even understand it. I just stood there and just, all I could say was, thank God. I don't know how you did that. I mean, that was just out of the blue. Just drove up and they looked at us, looked at him, started to laugh and said, how did you do that? I was just told they didn't have them. Just so there's no way. And then, woohoo. You see what I'm saying? When I prayed in faith, because I know that what I'm doing is of God, and I know that I walk, and I just, it's that flow of faith. It just happened. I then was surprised that it happened. Where I don't think David was really surprised that he killed Goliath. And I guess that's the next step in the walk of faith to, you know, just have said, yeah, okay. See, there's a flow to it. And all I'm saying is that where that's where we have to get to. That place of the flow of faith. Said, no. That God said this. I'm doing what God told me to do, and everything's going to be okay. Now, do you know that just living is what God told you to do? You with me? Raising your family is what God told you to do. You mamas, you grandmamas, and all those things. That's what God told you to do. You say, what do you mean? Well, you got kids, don't you? Well, what God told you to do. So you can stand up there and say, I'm doing exactly today what God told me to do. You see what I'm saying? You can just get up in the morning and say, phew, glory to God, kids would have been driving me crazy today, but, you know, I'm just doing exactly what God told me to do. So, God told you to have babies? I have babies. So, that's what God told me today. Are y'all following me here? Am I just on drugs or something? Y'all looking at me all crazy. You see, whatever you're in, whatever you're doing, wherever you live, wherever all that, you're in the middle of what God wants you to do. Just do it in faith, walking it out, speaking to it, going forward. If you feel a little queasy, feel a little weak, know you're weak in those areas and get to quoting the word, get to speaking the word, get out of hope and get into faith to where you're just pulling out the stones, slinging the stones, killing giants. It becomes your natural flow in life. Your natural flow in life. Amen? Look at the person and say, get the flowing. Well, praise God. Amen. Help you? Amen. Well, good. Ushers, help me tonight. Let's ush. Anything going on Sunday? We just got a fourth Sunday. Kids ablaze. Glory. God's girls. God's girls tomorrow night. Steak and potatoes. You're having chocolate night. Y'all, let's pray over this offering, then we'll go from there. Father, I just thank you right now in Jesus' name that, Lord, that you are our financier. And God, you're the one that gives us the ability to make wealth so that we can establish your covenant upon the face of this earth. And so, Lord, we praise you for it. Thank you that our businesses prosper, our lives prosper, everything works according to your plan and your purpose. And Lord, we give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all, I want to ask y'all just to pray for me tomorrow. And then again on Saturday morning, because I've got to fly to Guatemala. I'm leaving tomorrow afternoon and flying down just for one day. There's all of Ivan's family and everybody's at Guatemala, and they're having a kind of a, I don't know what you call it, a night of board meeting, renewal, prayer, whatever, for all the workers at the orphanage are going to be there. And we're having a big one-day meeting and talk about the things that are going on, a lot of prayer, a lot of just going on. So you don't have to worry about the meeting. You don't have to pray about the meeting. Just pray that I get through the airports. I need favor. I got to go through the airports. So I'll be leaving tomorrow about 5 o'clock and coming back Saturday about noon. So if y'all don't mind, throw up some extra prayer for me so I don't get thrown in jail somewhere. We can believe God for that, can't we? I'm believing the gates will be opened. I will go forth and return. Amen? Well, stand to your feet. Grab that person's hand beside you and say, you got it. Lord, I just declare that we're going to walk and live in just a flow of faith with you. Lord, everything that we do, everything that we say, everywhere that we go, Lord, is just a flow of faith with you. And so, Lord, I just praise you tonight. I thank you for everyone out here. Lord, as we go on out there into the world, as we go out to do all the things that you've called us to do. We're going to be David's, Lord. We're going to slay Goliath. We're going to be giant killers by the Holy Ghost. And we're going to go forth in victory. We're going to establish your kingdom on the face of the earth. And Lord, all glory and honor goes to you. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.